because of the, I was thinking earlier when I made those announcements that next week we'll be sharing with you in the bulletin what the schedule will be for that final Sunday. Next Sunday night's going to be our last Sunday night with a regular service, because the next Sunday is going to be a schedule change. So everything's coming to a screeching halt. We know that. And all kinds of emotions in that. And sometimes there's tears. Sometimes there's hurt, this, that, and the other thing. But my prayer is that we might finish well. That's my prayer, that we might finish well to the glory of the Lord. Well, let's see what we have this evening as we take another look at one of our Lord's statements when he told the people, I am such and such. Tonight we pick up with number 5 of the 7. And next Sunday morning, 6. Next Sunday night, 7. Lord willing. Thank you, Father, for this time that we have. We thank you for your word, and we thank you for the truth of it. We thank you for the teaching of our Lord. As you were here among us, we thank you for the truth contained in those statements. And I pray that you would get all the glory tonight as we look to you, Lord, as the resurrection and the life. We thank you now in your name I pray. Amen. Andrew, let's call this one, as far as the title, Belief and Glory. Belief and Glory. I thought you prayed resurrection and the life. What's that have to do? Stick with us, and hopefully you'll see why we have chosen this title. Turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 11. John chapter 11. Our Lord made his 5th reference to his deity by using the statement, I am, in perhaps the most famous of all of his miracles that are recorded in Scripture. It's certainly a familiar account. It's the raising of his dear friend Lazarus from the dead. And let's see, note takers, verses 1 through 15, the Lord's delay / design. The Lord's delay and design. We find this story, and we're not going to read all of these verses. You know the story that a certain man was sick named Lazarus, and he was actually a very dear friend of the Lord, had 2 sisters that are well known to us, Martha and Mary, living in the city of Bethany, about 2 miles from the city of Jerusalem. And we find that the sisters sent word to the Lord, who was in another location, that verse 3, he whom thou lovest is sick. They sent word that their brother Lazarus was sick. Sick enough that they believed that we need to call on the Lord and have him come, the seriousness of the sickness. But in verse 4, we see here the reason or design for Lazarus' sickness. Do you ever wonder why people get sick? I'm not saying this is the answer every time, but in this case, the Lord actually said, here's why Lazarus is sick. As his response in verse 4, when Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but, number one, for the glory of God. And number two, this sickness is that the Son of Man, pardon me, that was something that we're going to mention in a moment. That's the usual designation the Lord gave to himself, but that is not the words he chose here. He says, number two, this sickness is that the Son of God might be glorified thereby or by this sickness. Now, let me call your attention to something I mentioned just a moment ago. I called him the Son of Man. But that's not what he called himself here in John's accounting. If you will search in all of the references in the gospel that the Lord made referring to himself, you say, well, that'd be hard to find. Get a red letter Bible if that's that hard for you to find. In all of the references that the Lord referred to himself in the four gospels, John is the only one of the four that you will ever find these words referring to himself, Son of God. Actually, in Matthew's account, 32 times he referred to himself as the Son of Man and not one time as the Son of God. Mark's account, he referred to himself 13 times as the Son of Man, and not one time did Mark record him as calling himself Son of God. Luke recorded 25 times Jesus called himself the Son of Man, and not one time Son of God. Only John. And in John's gospel, 10 times John recorded the Lord referring to himself as Son of Man, and 5 times, and this is one of them, our text, where he referred to himself as Son of God. We notice, secondly, in verse 5, we saw in verse 4 the reason or the design for that sickness of Lazarus, for the glory of God and that the Son of God might be glorified through this sickness. In verse 15, we find another reason for the delay in responding. For you see, that's exactly what Jesus did. He got word that Lazarus was sick, and then what did Jesus do? Did he throw everything down, go out and jump in his Mustang? Or jump on his Mustang? And say, we got to get out of here. We got to get over there. What did he do? He delayed what? 2 days. 2 days. You say, well, did he really know what he was talking about? Remember back in verse 4, he said, this sickness is not unto what? It's not unto death. But didn't Lazarus die? What did he mean by that? This sickness is not going to result in him staying dead. It's going to be for the glory of God. And it's so that the Son of God might be glorified in it. But he had another reason for delaying. And it's recorded in verse 15 when he said, I am glad. Oh, let's look at the dialogue here in verse 11. The middle of verse 11, Jesus said unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall what? Do well. When a person is sick, what is quite often the best remedy for whatever is wrong with them? Get some, go to bed, get some rest, and let the body do its thing. And it's amazing so many times what rest will do for one who has been and is sick. And the disciples, they were on earth thought mode. And they said, well, Lord, If he's asleep, oh, that's good. You know, he's probably, you know, good night's rest or so, and he's probably going to be bouncing right back. And to that, what did the Lord answer? Jesus spake, verse 13, of his death. Why did he use the word sleep? He's going to wake up. Many times, if you notice in Scripture, many times one who has died, you'll find the use of the word sleep in connection with that. And we see here, he said, I'm going, our friend is asleep, I'm going that I may wake him out of sleep. Disciple says, sounds good. But Jesus was speaking of his death. But they thought that he had spoken of just getting a good night's rest. Then said Jesus unto them very plainly what? Lazarus is what? He's dead. Now, another reason for the delay. Verse 15. I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that you might believe. If Jesus would have been there, what in all probability would have happened to Lazarus? What most likely would the Lord have done? They had seen him do that multiple times, hadn't they? There was no sickness he couldn't heal. And Jesus said, I'm glad I wasn't there, because I would have been expected to heal him. But he said, I'm glad I wasn't there for this purpose, that you might believe. You say, well, he's not talking to a bunch of street guys here. He's talking to his disciples. Was the faith of his disciples everything that it could have been? They had a lot to learn. And just like you and I, our faith needs to grow. And Jesus said, here's why I delayed the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified in this sickness. And the second thing, I'm glad I wasn't there so that it might create faith in you. Then he said, let's go. Let's go. So having said that, we come, number two, to the sister's disappointment. We saw, first of all, the Lord's delay and his design, but we see the sister's disappointment. And we see in verse 21 and 32, the disappointment of the girls, the sisters, recorded. But right alongside of their disappointment, you see in bold letters their faith in the Lord. What do you mean disappointment? Notice verse 21. It says, then Martha said unto Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. Do you catch both? I mean, her sister had died. He'd been dead 4 days already. You think there was no grief? You think there was no sorrow? And you hear her expressing, Lord, if you just would have hurried up a little bit and you wouldn't have waited so long, my brother wouldn't have died. There is great faith in her words. Great faith that the Lord possessed the power to have healed him and kept him from dying. Verse 32, the other sister got wind that he was there, and Mary went out, and we see her words recorded in verse 32. When Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, what's almost like a carbon copy, isn't it? Almost like the girls had, you know how sisters talk. And it's kind of like this is what they had been. Boy, if our Lord just wouldn't have delayed, if he just wouldn't have waited. You know, we were so in hopes that he would come on time. And now we see that Mary is expressing the same disappointment and faith. Lord, if you just wouldn't have delayed, my brother would still be alive, because I know you could have kept him from dying. That was faith. That was great faith that they were expressing regarding. But it was, I call this, limited faith. both knew his power. They had witnessed his miracles previous to this in other places with other people. Excuse me. But the limit was this. Neither one of those sisters saw him as God the Son with all the power of God to do anything about the condition of their brother. They both believed if he would have been there, he could have and would have kept him from dying. But you weren't here. But we see there, that was the end of their faith. Neither one of them are saying that you can do it now. You say, but wait a minute. Listen to what Martha had to say in verse 22. She said here, after she expressed her disappointment, I know that even now, whatsoever you will ask of God, God will give it of you. She's once again expressing the fact that she knew that she had heard the Lord teach, whatsoever things you ask in my name, what's going to take place? I will do it. And she knew the close relationship that we spoke of this morning in John chapter 10 between the Father and the Son. And she said, I know that whatever you ask of God, He'll give it to you. But that's where her faith stopped. She did not voice, I've got faith. If you'll just ask Him right now, He'll raise my brother from the dead. She was expressing faith up to a certain point. But that was it. To her statement, listen to what Jesus said in verse 23. He said, thy brother shall rise again. Wow. That should have perked you up, Martha. But she was thinking earthly terms. She was not thinking in relation to who was really standing before her. Who is the source of life? And we see here her comprehension of what Jesus just told her when he said, your brother shall rise again. Listen to her limited faith and sight with regard of who and what Jesus not only is, but what he can do. She said, well, I know that he's going to rise again in the resurrection at the last day. That's a given, Jesus. And that was all his statement to her meant when he said, your brother is going to live again. She could not think anything beyond the hope of the Jewish people. The Old Testament scriptures referred to it. They believed in the resurrection of the righteous at the last day. And that's what she's voicing here. I know my brother's going to live. I know that this isn't the end of him. But in the meantime, boy, I sure miss him, and I sure wish we had him around here now. She could not comprehend. In his earlier teaching, our Lord had spoken of this very thing, of him being able to give life. In John chapter 5, verse 21, listen. As the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth or gives life to whom he will. That was in John 5, 21. What had Jesus taught? He had the same authority, the same power as the Father to give life to anyone who was dead. But it went right over Martha's head as she stood outside the tomb and met up with Jesus outside of town. Lord, if you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died. But I know that, you know, if you ask God, God'll give you what you ask. Your brother is going to live again. Well, I know he's going to live in the final days. And John had recorded in John chapter 6 multiple references to that very time. John 6:39. This is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. Verse 40, this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone that seeth the Son, believeth on him, may have everlasting life. I will raise him up at the last day. Verse 44, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Martha had heard a lot about that last day, but her faith was weak in seeing that possibility standing before her. You know, many times we talk about, I believe the Lord can do this, and I believe the Lord can do that and will do that. And sometimes our faith sounds pretty, can I use this word, pious? And we go around telling people that, well, I believe this, I believe that. But what do we do when our faith is tested? Where goes our faith? We're like Martha. Jesus, when he told her in verse 23, your brother's going to live again, he meant in the next few moments. But not to her. She was, oh yeah, I remember this book, chapter, verse, yeah, that's... She had no concept of who was standing in front of her, though Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, all three, were loved by the Lord. One of the authors suggested the word that is used to refer to the love that the Lord had for Mary, Martha, and Lazarus was agape love. The deepest love he could have and give. And that's how much he loved these two sisters and their brother. As we look at this, as disappointed as she was with what had happened, verse 24 says there certainly was, she didn't doubt the power of the Lord to resurrect her brother in the final day. But in her mind, that was going to be someday. But number three, let's look at the Lord's declaration in verses 25 and 26. When Martha said, I believe in the last day you're going to raise him up, Jesus looked at her and said, I am. There you go. The words of deity. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Martha, do you believe that? As we look at this, one stated, her faith stretched forth, and Jesus met her here. I am the resurrection and the life. This is complete, and faith is in the light. I am bread of life, light of the world, door to the sheepfold, good shepherd, resurrection and life. It was not, I can raise the dead, Martha, but I am the resurrection. Not I can give life by prayer to God, verse 22, your words, Martha. I know if you just ask God, I am. I have that power, he was telling her. I am the life. He is this in himself in virtue of the divinity of his person and his commission. He is the resurrection and the life, both physically and spiritually. He is all this now as he stood before her. I am. He did not tell her, I shall be at some future period. I am now, irrespective of time. Resurrection. The resurrection. Right now, Martha, you're looking at the resurrection. Thus, to Martha's faith, what was distant is near. What was future is present, and the resurrection and the life are embodied before her in the person of her Lord. A gentleman by the name, I don't know what, just B. Thomas, recorded those words that I shared with you. His statement has multiple time factors, both present and future. I am resurrection and life. Go back to 10, verse 18. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. 28:10, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. John 5:26, for as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. That's how he could say to her, Martha, I'm the life. I'm the life. Verse 40 of John 5. I receive, let's see, you will not come to me that you might have life. And 6:33, the very first I am that we looked at, the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven, and get this, giveth life unto the world. Future, we've seen the present. I am resurrection and the life. But we find here in our text, he also talks about the glorious truth for believers of all ages. What do you mean, Pastor? Verse 25, because I am the resurrection and the life, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. What was Lazarus' condition at that instant? Huh? Dead, and he's going to live again. What is our blessed hope? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Don't turn to it, but the day is coming when there will be a shout, the voice of God, the trumpet shall sound, and what? The dead in Christ shall what? Rise. And are they going to be just lifeless zombies? The dead in Christ are going to what? Live. And then verse 26. He that believeth in me, whosoever liveth and believeth in me, shall never die. There is the generation that's going to be alive when the Lord comes to rapture his church. There's going to be a generation of believers that will not pass through death's door. Are we going to be one of them? Is he going to come that soon? We don't know. But there's going to be those that are believing in him. They already have life, and they will never die. Everlasting life. Finally, note takers, number 4. In verses 39 through 45, the demonstration of his claims. The demonstration of his claims. I mean, that's one thing to say, I am the resurrection and the life, and I'm going to give life, but can you prove it? Can you do anything about it? Look at verse 39. Very quickly, we look at these verses in closing. Verse 39, Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinks. His body was rotting. He's been dead 4 days. Jesus said unto her, didn't I say unto you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. But I knew that you always hear me. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they might believe that you have sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot, with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, Loose him and let him go. And many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. The demonstration of his claim. No problem to the Lord. He's resurrection. He's life. But Pastor, where did you come up with that title of belief and glory? Verse 40. Jesus said unto Martha, Didn't I say unto you, if you would believe, you would see the glory of God. And what a closing challenge for us. What would God show us if we believed in him more? Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Father, for this fifth declaration of our Lord. Resurrection and life, and you proved it was not just words. You demonstrated your power right there before the unbelieving eyes. And you raised Lazarus back to life once again. Lord, all things are possible to you. You are God. And the disciples were having to learn who you were. And even one of the reasons the Lord delayed going in response to the request of the sisters was so it would be something that would strengthen the belief and the faith of his own disciples. Lord, do what you have to do in our lives to strengthen our faith in you. We trust you, we love you, and I pray that you would dismiss us with your blessing on us as we go our way. In your name I pray, amen.